Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the NBL News Podcast, joined by Jackson once again. What's going on, Jackson?
Nothing much, but I do have a story to share at the top of the podcast.
Here we go.
So today, so we are recording this on the afternoon or evening Tuesday in Melbourne evening. For the on the 10th. So the night of the afternoon of over here in Perth, the New Zealand and Wildcats game. And my family and I decided let's go out for lunch today and we'll go to this nice place out at Crown, so in Burswood. And so we have our lunch, whatever. And the car park is, you know, a fair way away. So it's quite quicker to go through the casino. So we decide, hey, you know, let's just go through the casino. Everybody has their IDs, we can go through. So I step up to give my ID to the security guard, and this guy must be blind because he told me that I look nothing like my photo, even though like I'm clearly, you know, quite similar. Like I took off my glasses, I did everything, and I know I look quite young for a 19-year-old, but still I'm very surprised. Like it might be because it's a Victorian learner's permit, like,
yeah, the WA
because they're not used
Victorians,
to
man.
They're not used to ones like that look like this over here. It might as well be discrimination. So
as I always say, it's another country over there.
It is backwards. So I'm hoping tonight that RAC Arena staff let me in, even though I look like I'm about 15. So let's hope for that. And just for the record, this is a totally legitimate ID card. Please use legitimate ID and don't use fake ones. So that's my story. And it was not a great feeling because it was 38 degrees outside and we had to walk through that. So it's not fun.
It's a story to start off the podcast.
It is. It is a lovely story.
So let's talk about more negative stuff about the city of Perth, I guess. And talk about the Perth Wildcats to start us off, eh? 0-2 in the past week. They not a good weekend for them. They add Ty Webster, and I thought, you know, they may be a different team here. You know, they may, you know, win a game at least. They may look different, but no, they got they get killed. What do you say? Yeah, they got killed by Sydney by 20-odd points.
Yeah, and then they lost by 2 to New Zealand.
Great demolition. And then they play in New Plymouth in New Zealand. Great stadium out there, by the way, been there. But they lose to New Zealand by a couple points. Look, what do you think of the Wildcats this past weekend? And a tough weekend, tough round, I should say, ahead. They play tonight against New Zealand. And then they play that opening game against Adelaide. So two really must-win games. I mean, what's the sense of the Wildcats right now, Jackson?
Well, the sense is that, well, let's start off with the game in New Zealand, shall we? So they're playing in New Plymouth, and I've got nothing against New Plymouth, but if you watch that game, like, there should have been at least 10 ACL injuries on that court. Like, there was Brady Manick was sliding, like, Brantley almost did his knee, Pardon fell over, like, bunch of players fell over, and it wasn't a great venue to play in. But besides the point, Perth let their lead go in the third quarter, ballooned out to like 12 points, 15 points. And even though they lost by 3 in the end, and Brady Manick had a very heavily contested shot at the end of the game to tie it and send it into overtime, like that was never going to go in anyway. But it was a close game to watch, but Perth can't play four quarters. They struggled to play four quarters. Like, they played quite well against Sydney if you remove the first quarter. Like, they still would have lost. They still would have lost by a fair bit. But if you remove that first quarter, you know, it would have been a completely different game.
How do you think they'll go this round?
1-1, I want to say.
You reckon?
I'm not sure about having four starting level guards on one team with the two Websters, Cotton and Orton. And I think they should start if Brown is starting tonight, for New Zealand, they should start Norton and have him run with him the entire game and just forget about everything else. And they should be looking for Webster to play, as in Ty Webster, to play 25 minutes off the bench or something like that. And who knows whether Travers is playing or not. He didn't play against Sydney. He's a game time decision tonight.
Yeah. And if he's not, Brantley is going to have a hell of a game.
Yeah,
I just don't see anyone guarding him tonight.
Yeah, Brady Manick won't be able to stop anybody. And it's not like you can move over Thomas to the four like they did, like they tried to do against Cooks. But it just didn't work.
You remove Travis from that team, and I wouldn't say he's the best defender, but he's still a solid defender.
He's still lanky. He can cut passing lanes. He can guard shots.
He's capable of guarding guys like the Cooks, the Creeks, the Brantleys in the NBL. And when he's gone, they don't have that really. So their defense is just nowhere to be seen the last few rounds. And they try and add more offense, and they're trying to play the game where more offense beats defense. They're trying to play kind of NBA style at the moment, but it's just this doesn't work in the NBL.
Work in 40-minute basketball. You can do it in 48 minutes, but
FIBA rules, you can't do it. There was an interesting stat today that showed that the NBL is the second fastest league in the world, and it is very close in the pace of the NBA. And then you look at the third league, I think it was the Spanish league, like they were pretty far away from the NBL. So the NBL is that perfect in between of the NBA and FIBA basketball, European basketball. But either way, it's still not, it's not offense win games, because we're seeing, you know, you score 100 odd points, it's you might lose a game still. So
I've got some questions around Riley and the coaching staff, just because he preached from day one, which he signed on to be the Perth Wildcats head coach, it's all about defense and it's all about rebounding. They're one of the worst defensive teams in the league, and they are the worst rebounding team in the league, both defensively and offensively. They cannot buy a board to save their life. And I don't know what he's coached into them. It may just be because it cannot be just about height, because look at New Zealand. They're playing 6'8" Derek Pardon, and he's dominating the boards. Look at Southeast Melbourne. They're playing 6'8", 6'9", Alan Williams. And yes, he's a big bloke. He's still dominating the boards. Like, it's not about height these days. It's about mentality. You look at John Mooney a few years back. He was 6'8", 6'9", and he was eating everything up. He was averaging 14 rebounds a game at one point. Like, it's not about height. It's about mentality. And I'm not sure he's coached that into them.
You look at that roster that got into the grand final without Bryce Cotton. It was Trevor Gleeson and his defensive strategy. So, I mean, against the Hawks in those semifinals games, I think they're relatively low scoring. I think there was one game 60 to 70 in Perth won. And they just don't have that anymore. And you looked at Perth team in that final series without Bryce Cotton, you know, their best player was Todd Blanchfield. Their high score was Todd Blanchfield and John Mooney. And, you know, they were able to go to a grand final series. So they've lost that, you know, usual Wildcats physical defensive persona. So hopefully they find that, but it's not looking good for them right now. And I think most people would have them missing final series 2 years in a row. So maybe their streak goes the opposite way and they go on a 30-year-old streak of not making finals. What do you reckon, Jackson?
Please, no. I can't cope for that. I don't think Perth fans can cope for that.
Cairns, they had a huge comeback against Southeast Melbourne. A huge comeback once again. They just don't. Cairns are probably my most favourite team to watch this season. It's because they never give up. Like, we saw it in the fourth quarter against Adelaide on New Year's Eve. They came back from 18 points down with about 5 minutes to go, won that game. I forgot how many they were down by against Phoenix in the start of the second.
It was nearly 20. Teens, yeah. It was high teens.
Yeah, and I think they came back and they were leading.
They got a double-digit lead at halftime. Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous.
They just never give up. And they've been doing it without Keanu Pinder as well. That's the thing. It's, you know, they're just playing unreal basketball. What do you think of the Taipans right now? Even without Pinner, they are looking like a true championship contending team.
Well, it wasn't that long ago when you said that they might have been pretenders. So,
look. We've moved on from that. It was yep. a bad, you know, you get bad hot takes and you get good ones. You know, I had a good one with James Duncan earlier in the year and I threw a bad yep. one away with Cairns. So, move on.
So, it's incredible what Ford and coaching staff and the players are doing up there because, like, Ford didn't coach, was it against, did they play Illawarra? Like their first game this round, and
come
then
on. Tillamore.
I know, but you're still without your head coach
and your best player,
and your best player, and your your MVP contender. So
I think it was against Brisbane. Actually,
it was against Brisbane. I let it actually, slide yeah, I was wrong.
Brisbane, it was 107-81. They smashed Brisbane without their best player and their head coach. They beat them by 26 points. Like this team is on another level this season.
And it's the way they play. Like Shannon Scott went berserk in, I want to say, the third quarter or the second quarter, and he could not miss. And like DJ Hoag shot 4 of 5 in like the second quarter.
Yeah.
And 4 of 5 from three, I should say. And, you know, they've got a really good import connection between Hoag, Scott, and McCall, who we all forget about when we look at this Cairns team these days, and their role players like Ben Eyre, who's been, you know, averaging over the past like 4 games, like 10 points and a couple assists and a couple rebounds. And it's just like a really good, solid team that they have. And the only downer on this season will be is that Pinder's out of contract, Ford is out of contract, Quoll is out of contract. Ben Eyre's on an option. He may go. Like, who else is? Is Majuk Deng out of contract?
I think they don't have many players contracted. But I think, look, is it? I think they're still, like, they're championship contenders this year.
Oh, yeah,
they worry about next season when they can. And there's no doubt Ford. I don't see Ford going anywhere next year anyway. I think he'll sign a big. They should have signed him, re-signed him by now, and they should re-sign their imports right now because that's always a worry with smaller teams like Cairns and Illawarra and the likes. They always lose their imports to, say, the Melbourne Uniteds or the Sydney Kings. So hopefully they need to sign up DJ Hoag. That is the one that he re-signed right now at this minute on a 2-year deal, and it'll be interesting to see how they finish this season. I love that the league right now is Cairns near the top and Melbourne down to bottom, near the bottom. We'll get to them in a second, but that's how good the NBL is. Like a small town team can still win the championship and a you know a major team in a major city can still be near the bottom of the ladder. That's what's great about the NBL. Talking about United, though, they still have a chance to make the finals, but I feel like those hopes have kind of drifted a little bit with the news of Isaac Humphries being out for 3 to 4 weeks. David Barlow will miss next game with concussion as well. But either way, those guys did not play many minutes last game against Tassie. And that was a huge win. That was probably their best win of the season, I have to say. No doubt about it. You know, they beat Tassie, away win, must win, with limited amount of bigs. Marcus Lee is so good. So underrated. I think there was a stat today about him where he's ranked number one in a lot of things in the league right now. I need to pull up the stats somewhere. So, Jackson, you please explain about Melbourne United. And do they still have a chance to make finals even with Humphries and Barlow out for a couple of weeks?
Well, I think they genuinely do have a chance of making finals. Like, it's not that far of a stretch now because they're one game off 500, like, which is, you know, 50% win-loss ratio. And they, you know, with the way teams are going, like, the games that they've got left are against teams, like, besides, I think they play Brisbane one more time, but the games they play are all against teams that are on the cusp of either being knocked out or into finals.
Yeah, they play New Zealand twice in New Zealand, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just getting up their schedule now.
And Adelaide and... twice, they play New Zealand twice, they play Adelaide twice. Going back to that Marcus Lease that I was trying to find.
Yeah.
This is some crazy numbers right here for him. Since December 10th, he ranks number one in net rating. Number one, he's all number one in these stats. Offensive rating, defensive rating, block percentage, offensive rebound percentage, and yeah, they're pretty precise stats. But still, he's number one in the league in these, and I think it shows, even watching a game, how impactful he is. I think his presence in the post, I've just missed that guy all season. They hoped Humphreys would step up and be that type of guy this year, but he really hasn't, and Caroline was supposed to play a bigger role and they got rid of him for Muxley, and he's probably been, you could argue he's been probably the best halfway import signing this season. You look at the other contention, Ian Clark, maybe Michael Fraser you can include. Who else would you include in that conversation? Payne Seaver, but it's a small discussion, but I think he's been
by far.
Yeah, by far been a huge impact and the best move Melbourne United's made for a while. And he's so underrated. He's so underrated. And I'm just don't know if they keep him next year and where he goes from here. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see United and see if they make that final six. Their record right now is 10 and 12, I believe, or 11 and 12.
And
12. Southeast Melbourne are 12 and 11. So they're literally one game behind with five games left. So it's got to be a very, very tight finish for Melbourne, but more than possible to do it. And it's on the back of Marcus Lee. If he keeps doing what he's doing, I think Melbourne no doubt will be in the top six if Marcus Lee keeps doing what he's doing.
Yeah, definitely.
DJ Vasiljevic broke a record as well. 42 tied. Points. Tied. Well, tied a record, I should say. Most three-pointers in a game in the 10-minute era. He tied a record with a couple of Wildcats legends. It's funny how two Wildcats shooting guard imports have got this record. Jermaine Beal, 10 three-pointers in a game. That was against Melbourne United a few years back.
Yeah.
I remember that game.
That was my last game at RAC.
There you go. Maybe a... another big game like that tonight.
I pray.
Bryce Cotton, he also had 10 3-pointers. I think it was in the...
It was in the semi-final game one against Cairns.
Yeah, 2 years ago, three years ago now. So, and he joins that. He was probably one of the best offensive performances we've seen this season. Up there with Creek and Walton in that game. But 42 points, 10 3-pointers, it's... unbelievable. It's unheard of kind of in the 10-minute era, and you got to congratulate that without even overtime as well. Like, I think Bryce's was in overtime.
In overtime. Jermaine Beal was just a flat-out demolition of United.
He was just chucking him up and then we're going in.
Oh, but yeah.
Vasiljevic showed that, like, I think the league's definitely more tougher than what it was 6 or 7 years ago when Jermaine Beal was playing. Mm-hmm. So it's much harder to do that now. And I think this game has definitely gone under the radar of most people. I mean, 42 points, 10 threes, and a huge win against Phoenix as well, who aren't... where would you rank them defensively, Southeast Melbourne?
Phoenix, middle of the pack, I'd say. They're not the best, but they're definitely not the worst.
No. But yeah, unreal performance. Arguably, you could say him or Creek was the best offensive performance this year. But if you like, he doesn't do that every week. And the thing is, he doesn't actually need to do that every week. But I think they were missing Walton that game. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so.
So that's. I was concerned about the depth of Sydney earlier in the year, but they've just showed that even if Walton or one of the imports goes out, they got Vasiljevic, they got Kuat Noi. It shows why they are a championship. They are the number one team in the league right now and are the championship favourites. They just have these players that can do that. Vasiljevic, you could argue, is the fourth best player, third best player on the team. And he's dropping 42 and 10 three-pointers. So that's how deep Sydney are, and that's why they are championship favourites once again. I didn't tell you about this, but Heritage jerseys.
Yes.
I think they're announced tomorrow, Heritage round. Can we get rid of it already? I mean, there's been one good Heritage jersey that I've liked, and that is Tassie's. Good idea. I like their Hobart Devils jersey, but the rest, like... Come on. Like, I think we've seen enough of Heritage jerseys. We've used about every one of them now.
Well, no, you haven't. Because here's the thing, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here. And here's the thing. United is supposed to represent every single team that has come from the past in Victoria, right? Why didn't they use any of their jerseys? Why didn't they use the Tigers? Why didn't they use...
Because they wanted to put them Geelong all Supercats. Into one for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah, but like they are effectively the Melbourne Tigers. Like you can say that they're the same club.
They have their, all they the literally players... have the jerseys and the championships hanging from the rafters.
And I believe that Phoenix is the spiritual successor to like the South Dragons and the Victoria Titans and the Magic and all those teams that came before them. So why don't they do jerseys of theirs? Like. Yeah. United, you can have Tigers, North Melbourne Giants. You can have, who else? You can have Geelong Supercats. You can have Eastside Melbourne Saints. You can do all those stuff. But, like, what are they trying to base their jerseys off exactly?
Yeah. Like, and that's the thing. That's what I'm worried about with the Breakers. Like, they've only had such limited jerseys. So has Cairns. They've only been around for... Was it like 20 years now, Cairns as well?
And
I think there's been about like five Heritage rounds in the last 6 or 7 years. And it's like, you know, when is Heritage round going to stop? You know, I propose, right, this is my proposal.
Yep.
From next season onwards, I like the champion jerseys. They're pretty good. But the way they, you know, the way they look can be, you know, there are some problems. Like you look at Sydney's Heritage one just got released. It's no sponsor on the front. It's just this massive retro logo hanging, like, you know, almost tucked into their shorts. And it's like this huge purple blank of nothing. It looks horrible. But my proposal next year, have the main sponsor below the number of every jersey, like international, like the national team jerseys and the EuroLeague jerseys and that, and G League jerseys. Also, four jerseys. Home away, Indigenous, 4th-1 can be an alternative / city round. I love the city jerseys because they're always creative. There's something different every year, and you can use the same twice. It's all right. Whereas Heritage, I've seen everyone already. It's fine. I've had enough of it. Only use Heritage jerseys if it's a 20-year anniversary or a 50-year anniversary of a championship, you know, something of the likes. Not just... Yeah, let's just wear this, you know, Adelaide wearing the 1997 jersey, white one. It's like, why? What's the point? It's like, you know, it's pointless. But anyway, that's my rant about Heritage round. Hot takes. Here we go. You or me? Right.
You can go.
Right. Well, this is, it's kind of not NBL related, but it kind of is, I guess. It's kind of Australian basketball more. But Tyrese Proctor, I think he's having a decent season at Duke, but he could have been better had, I say, he would be a projected lottery pick right now if he had signed with an NBL team, specifically the Illawarra Hawks as an XO.
Yeah, I agree with that. I
like sometimes not always going to the best, like Duke, the number one college program, you know, doesn't mean you got to eventuate into the superstar. We've seen it numerous amounts of times. I maybe it's just me disappointed that the Aussies aren't staying as next stars anymore. But anyway,
yeah,
it is what it is. I just think if he played in the NBL this year, there would have been lots of opportunities for him to play and present himself as a true lottery pick. Anyway, what's yours?
DJ Hoge will drop 40 points against Illawarra.
Is this if Pinder's playing or doesn't matter?
Doesn't matter.
All right.
I don't mind. I do not discriminate against injuries. I just think the way Illawarra is going, like, I could have done this with, like, who's Brisbane playing? They're playing Sydney, and I didn't want to double up with another Sydney player. And Brisbane 50. Are playing Melbourne, and they're playing once more. Yeah, they're playing Southeast. I can't see another United player going for 40. I can't see Southeast Melbourne, whether or not Creek is playing or not. Like, I can see Creek going for 40, but I can't see him with his eye or whatever's going on there.
Yeah.
But I've gone for DJ Hogue.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. I think Shannon Scott's more likely, considering they have literally no guards other than Hale Harvey at the moment. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Rapid questions. Here we go.
Yes.
Will Marcus Lee return to the NBL next season?
No.
Is Bryce Cotton still a top three MVP candidate?
No, but he's a top three player in the league.
Okay, all right. That doesn't... Okay. Is this the worst Bullets team since they've come back into the league?
No. I remember the first year they came back, they were quite bad. But that just may be bad memory.
I think they won 10 games that year.
They had Jermaine Beal and they cut him like two games before the end of the season. And Tom Jervis and...
This year is pretty bad, though. That was their first year.
Yeah.
In consideration to this year.
Like, are we saying both on court and off court, or are we just focusing on court?
All together.
Oh, yeah, this season, definitely.
Should the Hawks sign anyone specifically for the rest of the season? Now that Fraser is also four imports out for a year is incredible.
Who's available? Like, are you saying bring him in for the rest of the season?
Yeah. Who would you sign that's a free agent right now and give them 30 minutes on an NBL court?
30 minutes. If his wrist is healed, Marshall Nelson. I think he deserves
always
a shot.
Comes back to Marshall Nelson.
Yes.
What about Jerome Randall? Jerome Hell Randall no. did say, he commented on my post saying, he talked in third person, so Jerome Randall is ready to go. So, there you go, Illawarra. If you want Jerome Randall, he is ready to go.
They do not want him. I can tell you that right now.
And is Felix von Hoff the greatest bachelor ever already? I know it's been 10 seasons, but I have not watched
it's
any
been
season.
One episode, but I want to lean on
maybe
a yes
because he's
here.
A friend of the podcast.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, been on here before. We got to give the man credit for his incredible performance, cheating performance, I guess, on the first episode. But a lot of
can I finish with one question of my own?
Go on.
From next season onwards, should Southeast Melbourne only play at John Cain Arena?
Yes. I you know what? I initially thought Margaret Court Arena would be a perfect stadium for them during the season. It's just the perfect size, like 7,500. But just keep playing at John Cain.
Like,
for the day.
I'm saying solely, like, don't play at the State Basketball Centre. Don't go out
to
Gippsland.
Yeah, they need to upgrade that. That's the thing. Like, State Basketball Centre, they're doing all these upgrades, adding all these courts and, you know, making it Basketball Australia's headquarters. Yet the main stadium, like, it only holds 3,500. It should be a 7,000-seat venue. It would be, you know, then Phoenix would play all their home games there. Make more sense, but whatever. What are we doing? Tips. Finish us off. Here we go. Let's fly through these. Illawarra, Tassie.
Tassie.
Perth, New Zealand.
Perth.
I say Perth as well. Actually, yeah, I'll go Perth. Brisbane, Sydney.
Sydney.
Yeah. New Zealand, Melbourne.
Melbourne.
I say, I'm going to say New Zealand, since this is in New Zealand and you don't have a couple injuries. Tassie, Adelaide.
Tassie,
I think they'll be upset with that win against loss against United. I think they'll want to get a win in front of the home crowd. Friday, Cairns, Illawarra, Cairns.
DJ Hoke to drop 40.
We don't need the tip.
Cairns
there.
To win by 40.
Brisbane, Melbourne. No, Melbourne. Yeah. Perth, Adelaide. It's a real big game there.
Open
I
air.
I say Perth. Yeah, open air game. I say Perth. First ever open air game.
Perth, I think Perth will get over the line just because Adelaide are so reliant on 3-point shooting.
Yeah, this
same with Perth, but Adelaide have all those shooters in comparison.
This is a good game here. New Zealand, Cairns in New Zealand.
In Auckland as well.
Yes. That will be a cracker. If Pinder's playing, Cairns. If Pinder's not playing, New Zealand.
Pinder's, I might as well say this, Pinder's training.
Right.
And it's a test. I think he's training today or tomorrow.
If Pinder's playing Cairns, if he's not, New Zealand. Even though the Cairns have looked really good without him as well.
I'll go Cairns. I think Cairns will win.
Sydney, Illawarra, let's move on.
No comment.
Southeast Melbourne, Brisbane.
No comment.
Phoenix could lose this one. Maybe. I don't know.
Phoenix. It's...
Actually, everyone's back, isn't it? Brown and Carl's coming back. Yeah, all right. Well. Couple of easy ones, couple of tough ones this week. No in-between games, really. But anyway, that will do for another episode of the NBL News podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed. We'll see you guys next time.